Get that Amex Gold card ready. I'm too tired to cook.
We feeling Five Guys or the Cheesecake Factory?
Both.
Earn up to $120 a year in statement credits at participating partners. Up to $10 each month when you pay with the Amex Gold card. Learn more at americanexpress.com/explore-gold. Enrollment required. Terms apply.
Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, Managing Editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. A Minneapolis man has been arrested for posting threats and encouraging violence against immigration officers. The AP's Jennifer King has more.
Federal authorities allege Kyle Wagner threatened to kill Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers in posts on social media. The 37-year-old Minneapolis man faces charges of cyber-stalking and threats against federal agents. Attorney General Pamela Bondi alleges that Wagner doxed and threatened officers. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says such conduct won't go unpunished.
The Department of Homeland Security arrested this individual. He is a self-proclaimed Antifa member who has been threatening, doxing, harassing ICE. He called for the murder of federal law enforcement officers. He encouraged bloodshed in the streets of Minnesota.
According to prosecutors, Wagner repeatedly posted on Facebook and Instagram encouraging his followers to forcibly assault and impede federal officers, whom he referred to as the Gestapo. He's also accused of doxing a pro-ICE individual online and sharing personal information online. The address in that case was in Michigan, and that's where the criminal complaint was filed.
Today's show host, Savannah Guthrie's family, is sending out another message to their mother's kidnapper. On a post to Savannah Guthrie's social media, her brother Cameron Guthrie shared this message.
Whoever is out there holding our mother, we want to hear from you. We haven't heard anything directly. We need you to reach out, and we need a way to communicate with you so we can move forward. But first, we have to know that you have our mom. We want to talk to you, and we are waiting for contact.
Authorities think Nancy Guthrie was taken against her will from her home in Tucson, Arizona over the weekend. DNA tests show blood found on Guthrie's front porch was a match to her.
Authorities in Arizona are looking for leads in the search for the 84-year-old mother of Today Show co-host Savannah Guthrie.
We believe Nancy is still out there. We want her home.
Sheriff Chris Nano says DNA tests showed blood found on Nancy Guthrie's porch came back as a match to her. Authorities think she may have been taken from her home in Tucson against her will over the weekend. As for who may have done this.
At this time, we have not identified a suspect or a person of interest in this case.
The FBI's Heath Janke says there is a ransom note, but it was not sent to the Guthrie family.
A letter that was sent to the local media and then to national outlets.
He says the note included a demand for money and a deadline.
This is an 84-year-old grandma that needs vital medication for her well-being. You still have the time to do the right thing before this becomes a worse, much worse scenario for you.
Janke says any ransom decisions are up to the Guthrie family. I'm Ed Donahue.
World shares were mixed today after Wall Street extended losses driven by heavy selling of technology stocks. This is AP News. AP correspondent Lawrence Brooks reports on an explosion at a mosque in Pakistan's capital.
A massive bombing has ripped through a Shiite mosque on the outskirts of Islamabad, killing at least 31 worshippers and wounding nearly 100 people. Officials say the explosion at the sprawling mosque in Pakistan's capital was an attack and that an investigation is underway. Pakistan's Interior Minister Mohsin Naqvi has condemned the attack and asked authorities to ensure the provision of the best medical care to the wounded. No one has immediately claimed responsibility, but suspicion is likely to fall on militants such as the Pakistani Taliban or the Islamic State group, both of which have been blamed for previous attacks on Shiite worshippers, a minority in the country. I'm Lawrence Brooks.
More on this story at apnews.com. I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
The Kremlin says Russian and US negotiators have discussed the expiration of their last remaining nuclear arms pact. Representatives in the United Arab Emirates have agreed on the need to quickly launch new arms control talks. The new START, or Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, expired on Thursday. It leaves no caps on the two largest atomic arsenals for the first time in more than half a century, fueling fears of an unconstrained nuclear arms race. Russian President Vladimir Putin has declared his readiness to stick to the treaty's limits for another year if Washington follows suit. But US President Donald Trump has ignored the offer and argues he wants China to be a part of a new pact, which Beijing has rebuffed. I'm Lawrence Brooks.
Even as the U.S. sends an additional $6 million worth of Hurricane Melissa aid to Cuba's hard-hit eastern region, Cuba's overall economic crisis still deepens, with Cuba's president accusing the U.S. of an energy blockade. Last week, President Donald Trump signed an executive order to impose tariffs on any country that sells or provides oil to Cuba. Residents of a small coastal town in the northwest say they still face severe hardships despite living near energy sources. Kenya Montoya laments that until December, things were a little better. Now it's January and money is tight. The anvil is crushing us and asks, where's the improvement? Senior State Department official Jeremy Lewin says Cuba is to blame for the hardships for their people, not the U.S. The price of Bitcoin has continued its month-long slide, even after the White House hosted banks and cryptocurrency companies this week, seeking common ground on pending legislation that would regulate stablecoins. Bitcoin dipped below $64,000 and has lost nearly half of its value since October 6th, when it hit a record high of over $126,000. After Trump's 2024 election win, Bitcoin prices chugged even higher as Trump strongly backed cryptocurrencies. Those gains have now been erased. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
President Trump's appearance at the National Prayer Breakfast touched on the afterlife and veered away from religion. The president's mused in the past about perhaps not making it to heaven. Today,
I was just having fun.
And probably should get there.
I mean, I'm not a perfect candidate, but I did a hell of a lot of good for perfect people.
And then there was meandering, perhaps not befitting a prayer breakfast. He went after Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie, a Republican who often counters his priorities.
This moron, no matter what it is.
And remembering a flight to Iraq during his first term, the president noted he does not like to sleep on planes.
I like looking out the window watching for missiles and enemies, actually.
The last remaining nuclear arms pact between the U.S. and Russia has expired. Spokesman Dmitry Peskov says the Kremlin regrets the New START treaty's expiration. President Vladimir Putin said a year ago he was ready to stick with the pact's limits for another year if Washington did the same. President Trump rejected that and today says he wants a new deal.
The president wants to have our nuclear experts work on a new, improved, and modernized treaty that can last long into the future.
Spokeswoman Caroline Leavitt. The president's also said he wants China to be part of a new treaty, which Beijing has rebuffed. At the UN, spokesman Stefan Guzharik calls this a grave moment for international peace.
For the first time in more than half a century, we face a world without any binding limits on the strategic nuclear arsenals of the Russian Federation and the United States of America.
The Senate's GOP leader is dismissing Democrat demands for new restrictions on federal immigration officers as a showdown over Homeland Security funding continues. John Thune warns the department will shut down next week unless Democrats negotiate with Republicans and the White House on a funding bill.
This is not a blank check situation where Republicans just agree to a list of Democrat demands,
which include things like requiring officers to take off their masks and identify themselves. Thune says many proposals are unrealistic. Democratic leader Chuck Schumer says this isn't about politics.
It's about people's basic rights. It's about people's safety.
And Democrats will not vote for a DHS spending bill when funding runs out unless there are big changes. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
In 2023, investigators discovered a stash of 189 decomposing bodies in a Colorado funeral home. They also discovered that the grieving families were given fake ashes. Derek Johnson thought he was fulfilling his mother's wish when he buried the ashes at his home on Maui's Haleakala volcano, the ashes he received from Return to Nature Funeral Home. Then the FBI called.
What Return to Nature gave me instead of my mom's ashes was Quikrete, the cement powder, basically.
Funeral home owner John Halford faces up to 50 years in prison when he's sentenced Friday. His then-wife, Carrie, is scheduled to be sentenced in April. Johnson says despite the trauma experienced, he still has good memories of his mom.
The Mother's Day card that I wrote her, and I think I wrote I love you in there like 20 times. All I can say is I love you, 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 I love you.
Three people are dead, six others are hurt after a car in a Los Angeles neighborhood lost control Thursday and slammed into a grocery store. Captain Eric Scott of the Los Angeles City Fire Department says the 92-year-old driver first hit a bicyclist, continuing for another block before driving into the bakery section of a 99 Ranch Market where customers were.
There's seating and table areas. We had, again, a total of 9 patients here, and tragically, 3 of those individuals were beyond any medical help. Despite our best intentions and our best efforts, they were determined dead on scene.
Several people were trapped underneath the vehicle. 2 of those hurt were taken to the hospital in critical condition. Authorities say the 92-year-old driver is undergoing a medical evaluation, but that the crash was an unfortunate accident. I'm Donna Water.
Pizza Hut is closing some of its restaurants. 250 Pizza Huts the company considers underperforming will be closing in the first half of the year. There are more than 6,000 locations. Pizza Hut hired Tom Brady to be a spokesman.
I got your pizza. Hut!
We should order pizza every game.
Yum Brands owns Pizza Hut. It says it's conducting a formal review of options for the brand. Sales dropped 5% last year. It has struggled with outdated stores and growing competition. Domino's, the world's largest pizza company, hasn't yet released its full-year earnings, but U.S. same-store sales were up 2.7% in the first 9 months of last year. Besides Pizza Hut, Yum Brands owns KFC and Taco Bell. I'm Ed Donahue.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. Sharp drops hit Wall Street as technology stocks sank and Bitcoin plunged again to roughly half of the record price it set in the fall. Several discouraging reports in the job market also knocked Treasury yields down in the bond market. The S&P 500 fell 1.2% Thursday. The index has been falling pretty much nonstop since setting an all-time high in late January. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 592 points. That's about 1.2%. The Nasdaq Composite sank 1.6%. Bitcoin fell below $64,000. Gold and silver prices fell again. Markets also closed lower in Europe and Asia. Seth Soutell, New York.
Mortgage rates barely budge. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says the average rate on a 30-year mortgage rose this week to 6.11%. This is the third straight increase, although the latest rate is essentially flat compared to last week. With the annual spring home buying season approaching, the average long-term mortgage rate is now slightly above its lowest level in more than 3 years. That's good news for home shoppers who can afford to buy at current rates. I'm Alex Vega.
The Labor Department says job vacancies fell to 6.5 million in December from 6.9 million in November. That's the least number of job openings since September 2020. Layoffs rose slightly, and the number of people quitting their jobs was essentially unchanged at 3.2 million. But economic growth is still strong. GDP, the nation's output of goods and services, advanced from July through September at the fastest pace in 2 years. Economists aren't sure if hiring will accelerate to catch up to strong growth, or if growth will slow to reflect a weaker labor market. Donna Water, Washington.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. Matthew Stafford edged Drake May for the AP NFL Most Valuable Player Award on Thursday night. It was the closest race since Peyton Manning and Steve McNair were co-winners in 2003. The Los Angeles Rams quarterback received 24 of 50 first place votes while May got 23. May leads the New England Patriots against the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl on Sunday. His coach Mike Vrabel was named Coach of the Year. Cleveland's Miles Garrett was named Defensive Player of the Year, while San Francisco's Christian McCaffrey was comeback player of the year. Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald headlined the 2026 Pro Football Hall of Fame class featuring five players. Brees and Fitzgerald both made it in their first year of eligibility in results announced at NFL Honors. Luke Kuechly and Adam Vinatieri made it in their second seasons of eligibility, while Roger Craig was the lone pick among seniors, coaches, and contributors. The class is also noteworthy for six-time Super Bowl champion coach Bill Belichick's absence, as at least 11 of the 50 voters opted against giving him a vote, despite a career with 333 wins and the most Super Bowl titles of any head coach. Giannis Antetokounmpo remained with the Milwaukee Bucks, while plenty of other players changed addresses as the NBA trade deadline passed. The two-time MVP had been the center of attention heading into the trade deadline on Thursday. Amid reports, the Bucks started listening to offers. Memphis's Ja Morant also hadn't been traded as of the 3 p.m. Eastern deadline. Indiana acquired Ivica Zubac from the LA Clippers. Minnesota got Ayo Dosunmu from Chicago, and New York landed Jose Alvarado from New Orleans. Washington acquired Anthony Davis, and Cleveland got James Harden in trades earlier this week. Chris Goddard shot 63 and has a two-stroke lead atop the boisterous Phoenix Open after one round.
It's a cool atmosphere. It's something that we get once a year.
Scottie Scheffler struggled with an opening 2-over-73, and Haley Scamora scored twice as the U.S. opened the Olympic women's hockey tournament with a 5-1 win over Czechia. Gethin Coolbaugh, AP Sports.
Oman has announced it mediated indirect talks between Iran and the United States over Tehran's nuclear program. The discussions took place in the capital Muscat with Oman's foreign minister Saeed Badr bin Hamad al-Busaidi meeting separately with Iranian and U.S. officials. Iran's foreign minister Abbas Araghchi arrived in Muscat hours before the meeting, along with several Iranian diplomats. The focus of the talks was on creating conditions for resuming diplomatic and technical negotiations. The meeting follows months of tension after Israel's attacks on Iran and the US bombing of Iranian nuclear sites. The US has also increased its military presence in the region. Both sides haven't commented on the talks and the scope remains unclear, but they aim to address Iran's nuclear activities and regional security concerns. A deputy chief of Russian military intelligence has been shot and wounded in Moscow. The attack follows a series of assassinations of senior military officers that Russia blames on Ukraine. Authorities say Lieutenant General Vladimir Alexeyev was shot several times at an apartment building in Moscow's northwest and was hospitalized, but they didn't say who could be behind the attack. Alexeyev is the first deputy head of Russia's military intelligence since 2011. The shooting came a day after Russian, Ukrainian, and US negotiators wrapped up 2 days of talks in Abu Dhabi. They aimed at ending the nearly four-year conflict in Ukraine. Since Moscow sent troops into Ukraine nearly 4 years ago, Russian authorities have blamed Kyiv for several assassinations of military officers and public figures in Russia. Ukraine has claimed responsibility for some of them, but it has not yet commented on the shooting of Alexeyev. I'm Lawrence Brooks.
It's the second day of talks between Moscow and Kyiv taking place in Abu Dhabi in the UAE as Russia has increased attacks on Ukraine's power grid. Speaking at the talks, Russian presidential envoy Kirill Dmitriev said there was progress being made. President Volodymyr Zelensky said negotiators in Abu Dhabi agreed to hold another meeting in the near future, but refrained from commenting further on the results of trilateral talks due to their sensitive character. The Ukrainian leader also confirmed the return of 157 Ukrainians as part of a prisoner exchange resulting from trilateral talks in Abu Dhabi. The US and Russia have agreed to resume military-to-military dialogue after 4 years of suspended communication following the war in Ukraine. The agreement emerged from a meeting between senior Russian and American military officials in the capital of the United Arab Emirates, according to the US military in Europe. High-level military communication was suspended in 2021 as relations between Moscow and Washington became increasingly strained ahead of the full-scale Russian invasion of Ukraine in February 2022. Meanwhile, talks in Abu Dhabi between American, Russian, and Ukrainian officials on ending the war entered a second day. The Bank of England has kept interest rates unchanged as inflation is showing signs of slowing down and economic growth seems to be on the up. The central bank, which sets interest rates for the whole of the UK, kept its main rate unchanged at 3.75 2.75%. The bank has been steadily reducing interest rates over the past 18 months, usually every 3 months, and last cut its key rate in December by a quarter of a percentage point. Economic forecasts suggest further cuts are coming, as the bank is predicting inflation will drop back from 3.4% to its 2% target in the coming months. The European Central Bank has announced it would leave rates unchanged as the 21 Eurozone countries managed to sail through President Trump's tariffs with resilient growth. Speaking at a news conference in Frankfurt, ECB President Christine Lagarde told reporters,
"The economy remains resilient in a challenging global environment."
The bank left its benchmark deposit rate at 2%, where it has been since June, after a series of cuts from the peak of 4% starting in mid-2024. The central bank said growth was being supported by low unemployment, increased government spending on defence and infrastructure, and the past series of rate cuts. The reduced rate has been low enough to restart mortgage lending for home sales and new construction due to reduced credit costs, boosting growth. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer has apologised to victims of Jeffrey Epstein for appointing Peter Mandelson as the UK's ambassador to Washington. Critics believe it's an error that could end Starmer's premiership.
"I am sorry. Sorry for what was done to you. Sorry that so many people with power failed you. Sorry for having believed Mandelson's lies and appointed him."
Starmer fired Mandelson in September 2025 after emails showed he kept up a close relationship with the disgraced financier, even after his conviction for sex offences with a minor in 2008. The Prime Minister is under new pressure over Mandelson following the release of the new documents. British police are investigating Mandelson over potential misconduct in public office. Mandelson is not accused of any sexual offences. Karen Shamas, London.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.